What we're dealing with here,
littering air,
is a complete lack of respect for the law.
And smoking the reefer.
Called the dust pop.
We live in a society of laws.
Dust pop?
Yeah. No, it's not real.
This thing of weed.
Takes one shot a weekend of training to get that bad.
Hello, ladies and gents. Welcome back to the Police Academy podcast. This episode is about one of the two most impactful pieces of wisdom I received as a rookie cop. And I want to share it with you. I'll share the other one as well. We're going to focus on one of them today. So stay tuned for that. And keep in mind that although it was extremely powerful in my career in law enforcement while I was still an active law enforcement officer, it has propelled me to success outside of law enforcement as well, in the private sector as well as in the military. So this is a key to success, not only in field training as you get your feet wet in law enforcement, but also in life, more broadly speaking. If you apply this as I'm going to describe it, hopefully, in a way that makes sense, you will find success. All right. So before we get to that, if you have one of the first 50 tumblers, one of the old ones, the original, we talked about doing a Tumblr challenge, and that's been kind of put on a back burner for a while. So November 15th, if you had one of these, if you're one of our first 50 top tier fearless members, then submit your photos, videos, basically any creation that has the Tumblr in it, either through Discord, if you're still on there, or you can email us at policeacademypodcast@gmail.com for your submission. And whoever sends in the most creative, craziest, basically something that tickles my fancy the most, then you will win that challenge, right? I'm looking for something really cool, unique, creative, something that stands out and really represents what who we are at Police Academy Podcast, who our membership is. So it's September 24th when the show comes out to members. It'll be another week before it comes out to the public, but you have over a month to a month and a half to get this done if you have been or are a owner of one of these tumblers. Now, the new tumbler is here and has been here for a while. There are a few of you who have, of course, now I can't open the dang box. Man, there's not even tape on it. This box is kicking my butt. All right. Okay. Yeah. Let's just break everything. This is what the army does, right? Son of a bitch. Okay. So I wanted to show you the box. I don't know why I left it in the box. I guess I just wanted y'all to have the experience, right? So you'll get this bubble wrap tumbler and, with all this crap on it to keep it nice and clean and safe for all y'alls. All right. So once you go through the painful process of opening the box, you'll find your tumbler in there. This is the new one. Got some color on it. Got the new Good Strong Free logo. I don't know if you can see that very well, but it says, there we go. Good Strong Free, the old America lion on it. That is the new tumbler. So if you haven't gotten one of those, or if you have the old tumbler and you want a replacement or just want the new tumbler, you can order those or just reach out to me. Again, if you're not a member anymore, just email me and I'll verify that you have the old tumbler and we can get you a new one sent. If you're a current member, again, you can reach out on Discord or through Patreon or email. Okay. Now, if you're not a member and have never been one, there is something coming up that you might be interested in, and that is that we are pausing membership fees for the month of November, and that is for current members and anyone who signs up before November. So if you sign up in late September or early October, or anytime in October, sorry, you will have November free. The reason we're doing that is not just as a an incentive to get more members in here, but also as kind of a payback to our current members who have stuck around through some quiet times for our members. Now, all of our members know what's been going on behind the scenes, and I'll share that here now, and that is that I've been studying for the law school admissions test, and most of the time, it's just been kicking my butt. I've done well on it. I've taken it a couple of times, but I do have to take it again in November. So this is payback to our members who have had to endure a couple months of basically radio silence on the membership. So I'm giving November for free to our members who have stuck around. But of course, if you decide to become a member before then you get that benefit as well. So November is free for everybody. And the last thing I want to talk about before we start the show is LifeSpot. If you missed the last episode with Brett Titus, he spent 20 years as a canine SWAT officer and did a ton of amazing stuff. He has in many ways changed the landscape of what it means to be a canine officer in law enforcement, especially in SWAT. And now he is running this company called LifeSpot. If you haven't listened to that episode, go listen to it. And after doing so, if you're an officer or you're getting on with a department or you want to help your local area be safer, especially the kids in that area, reach out. You can email us at policeacademypodcast.com and we can connect you. We'll get you going with Brett and his team in getting LifeSpot set up in whether it's, you know, your schools, your local schools, hospitals. And then of course, for the police agency, for whoever has jurisdiction over that area, it is free. It doesn't cost any police agency anything. It's actually paid for by the people who are being protected by it, i.e. the school, the hospital, and even large corporations. So reach out to us, policeacademypodcast@gmail.com. If you're interested in helping out in that way. And I mean, this is a way that you can help protect your community and especially your kids. So, but again, if you haven't listened to that episode, it's awesome on so many levels, not just talking about this amazing new company. So it is a must listen. I say that at the beginning of that show. So go listen to that. It's the one prior to this. You definitely don't want to miss it. Okay. That's it for the intro. Let's get on to the business for this show. We'll see you all on the flip side. Enjoy the show. Okay. So like I said, there are two pieces of advice, two mantras, if you will, two words of wisdom that have really stuck with me since I heard them as a rookie police officer just about to go through the refiner's fire that is FTO, at least, especially, they're not all this way. Some FTOs are really easy. Ours was not. Ours was extremely difficult, not only with written tests, but also in what was expected of you out in the field doing the real thing. There were two pieces of advice. They were both given to me by a captain. He was our patrol captain at the time, Captain Clark. If you're out there, hats off to you, old friend. This advice has propelled me to levels of success that I no doubt would not have achieved if it weren't for receiving this advice the time that I did. The piece that I'm going to talk about today is the principle, the mantra of love the one you're with. Let me provide some context with where this came from. So as a rookie cop, I knew I didn't know everything, but I did really, I was very successful in academics, valedictorian in high school, 4.0 GPA through college, dominated at the police academy. I was doing pretty well, right? So I thought I knew, probably, just being honest, a lot more than I really did. So when Captain Clark came in and spoke to myself and I think it was seven other police recruits. Yeah, it was seven. There's eight of us. He gave us a couple pieces of advice, and the one this day was love the one you're with. And it sounds a bit strange at first, and I assure you it is has nothing to do with romantic relationships. What he was trying to get across to us, and he did it in such a beautiful way, right? Because he says, listen to me, if there's one thing you do in FTO, in your field training officer program, love the one you're with. And of course, we're like, what the hell is he talking about, right? It caught our attention, and so we're all ears. Then he explains what that means. And in that context, what he's talking about, or what he was talking about, was that every field training officer that you get seated next to is a different officer, a different person. They were raised differently. They were trained differently, no doubt, especially depending on how long they've been on, right? Things change over the decades of law enforcement, how things are done. Old school guys do things in an old school way. And sometimes there is no right or wrong. It's just a different way. And of course, these officers have all been through different things. They have firsthand seen and dealt with all kinds of countless, just insane things, right? There's an infinite number of just wild and amazing things that police officers deal with. And each one of them has had their own experiences that shaped them into who they are as an officer and how they're going to train you. And so what he was trying to get us to see was that when you go from one FTO who has taught you FTO is field training officer. So if you go from one trainer and you've been with them for a month, right? They have taught you their way. They have made you into a little rookie version of them, right? They've tried to give you the pieces of advice and wisdom that you need to avoid the mistakes they made, right? To learn it the easy way. And that's great. And if you're paying attention and you're a good cadet or a rookie officer, however they label you at that time, then you're soaking that up, right? You're a sponge. You're like, all right, yeah. I'm doing it the McDaniel way. Let's do this, right? For me, the Schwartz way, right? I'm doing it the Schwartz way. If I leave my cruiser camera on for too long after a traffic stop, I get snapped in the back of my hand with a rubber band. That was a real thing. That actually happened quite a lot. But it taught me, shut the damn camera off when you're not using it. But when you get to your next FTO, well, that FTO doesn't do it the Schwartz way. That FTO does it the Meyer way. And you're going to see very quickly that doing it the way that your first FTO wanted you to do it, and it isn't everything, right? They're not going to tell you to do every single thing that you do. They're not going to tell you to walk a different way. But there will be things that FTO number two wants you to do differently than the way the FTO one taught you to do it. And so what he was trying to get us to be prepared for was that when FTO number two says that is wrong, and they often don't say it in the most polite ways, right? It's the law enforcement, similar to the infantry in that we just say what needs to be said. If it hurts your feelings, well, get over it, right? We don't have time to worry about these things that the rest of the world gets to worry about. We've got business to do. We've got things to learn. And if we don't, then somebody might get killed, right? So it's not always so gentle in saying, hey, you're doing that wrong. This is the way you need to do it. Well, a lot of rookie officers are going to go, well, my last FTO told me I'm doing it the way I was taught. Again, there's no time for that. You're just going to, number one, you're just going to piss your FTO off and create a negative dynamic in your relationship, right? They're not going to take well to that. But also you're wasting time, because although you're right, yes, you were taught that way, it doesn't matter. This FTO is teaching you a way that they think is better. If they didn't think it was better, they wouldn't teach you that way. Okay? So that is what he was focusing on. Just love the one you're with. Don't ever go back to, well, this, and a lot of people are transfers from other agencies. Like, this is how my old agency did it. Okay. They know that. They know that you've done it a different way in the past. Don't worry about that. Love the one you're with. And what that does is, number one, it keeps your relationship with your trainer good on the positive side, and helps you learn faster. If you see each and every person, each and every one of your, in this context, trainers, as a chance to try a different way of doing things, you're gonna learn so much more, and you're gonna be so much better of an officer when you get done with FTO. Because when you're done, then you get to do it your way. I got to cop the Herrick way. And my way was not the Schwartz way. It wasn't the Meyer way. It wasn't the McDaniel way. It wasn't the Cheezik way. It wasn't the Pillmeyer way. It was the Herrick way, which was a combination of all of those officers. I learned something, and I learned a lot from each and every one of those officers. And some of those things I learned conflicted with each other. And over time, I found, okay, I get this way, but I like this way a little bit better. So my way is going to be this way. And sometimes it's a combination, right? In certain circumstances, the Meyer way, the tough way, works the best. And you just got to flip the switch, get tough, and take care of business. In a lot of other ways or circumstances, the McDaniel way works better. We're going to talk, right? We're going to be the diplomat, and we're going to pull out our notebook and have conversations, investigate every lead to its end. You get what I'm saying here? Like, it's, you'll be a better officer if you see each and every opportunity that you have to learn as just broadening your perspective and giving yourself more tools to work with. So that is the original context of the love the one you're with mantra. And it helped me immensely. I did apply this liberally in my FTO experience and in throughout my career as a police officer. Now, this principle expanded. Well, first of all, it started as just this mantra, right? You know, when I was told something, or told I was doing something wrong, when I wanted to defend myself and go, well, yeah, but it's not wrong, it's how I was taught to do it, I would just repeat to myself, love the one you're with. Okay, love the one you're with. Okay. Don't say anything. All right, Roger. I'm like, okay, cool. I'll do better next time. And that's it. And then you do it that way, the new way the next time. Now, it helped me immensely in FTO, but even after my career in law enforcement, that's skipping too far forward. It changed from just a simple mantra to a principle by which I lived. And it really, I expanded this idea of love the one you're with into something more. And what that more was this recognition that every single person, not just your field training officer, right? Not people who are directly over you to teach you in a teacher, mentor, mentee, teacher, student type of relationship, not just those, but every person you meet. Because as a police officer, and this is where that transformation took place, right? Love the one you're with was a mantra in FTO, got me through, helped me out a lot. But then after FTO, as I'm meeting all of these amazingly different human beings, right? All different races, ethnicities, ways that they were raised. They come from different parts of the country. They've had different life experiences, all kinds of abuse, just infinitely different people. I recognized that each and every single one of those people knows something that I don't. And if I acknowledge that, that means I can learn from them and again, make myself a better officer and a better person. Because then if I learn something from everyone I meet, over time, especially as a cop, because you meet a lot of people, you're going to learn a whole hell of a lot of stuff, right? So it expanded to more than just keeping your mouth shut and doing what you're told, to being humble in your interactions with different people and recognizing that, yeah, this guy might be what we typically call a dirtbag in the law enforcement community, right? Just a career criminal, always up to no good. But there's a reason. It doesn't excuse criminality, but there's a reason he's this way. And he knows, even go beyond just, okay, why are you this way? What about your life made you choose this lifestyle? Go beyond that. As a cop, you want to know how criminals think. So if you learn, if you can learn and glean from each of these career criminals that you deal with on a regular basis, what motivates them? And why they do the things they do, how they do the things they do, that makes you a better cop, because then you know where to look, you know where to find them, you know how to piece things together when you're doing your investigations. And I think what this really ends up getting to is that, and this is really for the younger generation, you need to recognize this is a hard pill to swallow. But you need to recognize that you don't know. Just as I needed to recognize it when I was a rookie hotshot cop, you need to recognize what you don't know. The reality is you just need to recognize that you don't know. You don't. Fools think that they know a lot. That is the easiest way to tell a fool. Think you know everything, even if it's about one subject. If you think you know everything about cars, about guitars, about football, whatever it is, in that context, you're a fool. Because number one, you don't know everything. And number two, someone probably knows more than you. Like 99.9 repeating, there's someone else that knows more than you. So you're a fool to think you know everything. But beyond that, if you think, just generally speaking, you think you know a lot about life, then you're a fool. Think about the breadth of what constitutes life on this blue and green orb flying around in this crazy thing we call space. How much do you really know? Even the experts on where we came from, why we're here, and what this physical existence even is, or even more, I think, illustrative of this point is how our brains work. People talk about the way that our psyche functions and the way that our minds work as if they know. The reality is, even the experts don't know. They just have a best guess at this point. There's far more that we don't know about our brains than what we do. So to think you know a lot about anything is generally pretty foolish. And so to our younger listeners, to our younger members, no matter how much you know, someone else knows more. And even if they don't, they know something you don't, right? You might know more about a particular subject, but that person might know a thing that can help you know more. But you got to be humble. You can't be like, well, I know more than you, so I'm not going to listen to you. There's something to learn. And you're not going to learn if you have that attitude. Wise people, however, they recognize they, if there's one thing that they quote unquote know, it's that they don't really know anything. I have a really good friend back home in Nebraska, and he gleaned this off of someone else, but it drove me crazy at first, but I love it now. And anytime I'd make a statement, even if it's a factual statement, he'd say, "You don't know that for sure." And it was in jest. He was joking most of the time, but the reality was, I don't. You don't really know anything for sure. And if you recognize that, then you're headed down the right path towards some actual wisdom. And I think another thing that we need to recognize in this, in the context of this conversation, especially for our younger listeners, I've had these conversations. I work with a lot of young men, exclusively being in the military. And what has become very apparent time and time again is that these young men, they have good intentions, generally speaking, right? They're doing what is their best, but they don't know what they don't know. And so, you know, I've had conversations with some of them, many of them, and a few times I've had to point out. So say I don't want to get too specific, but we're talking about a particular topic, and the statement is said, well, this is how I was raised. And in the context of like, I'm trying to tell them a different way that they can do something that's a better way, in my opinion, in my much more experienced life. And they'll say, well, that's not how I was raised. No one ever did that in my family. None of my parents didn't do that for me or any of my siblings or whatever. Right. And again, a tough pill to swallow is that maybe your parents didn't do it the best way. And I think the better way to say that is all of our parents, no matter how good they are at parenting, probably the hardest damn job in the world, none of them have given us everything we need to be a successful and wise adult. If they did, damn, like they better make some money on that, because it's impossible. You shouldn't know everything you need to know when you turn 18 and become an adult and hopefully move out of the house and start making your own way, right? No criticism there for those who are still living in the parents' basement to save some money. I've done that too. But if you know everything you need to know at 18, 25, 30, 35, I'm 35 here very soon, scary as that is. If you think you know everything, you don't. And like, you just need to recognize that it's not your parents' fault. Some parents do suck. And some of you know that, right? They did a terrible job of raising you and they set you up for failure. Okay. But you're an adult now. And I hear adults say this. Well, that's just the way I was raised. That's their excuse for being wrong. And sometimes you are just flat out wrong. And your pride, your I've always done it this way mentality, which is a fixed mindset and not a way to be a successful growing adult, keeps you from being able to accept advice on whatever that issue is, right? It keeps you from learning a new way to do something that is better. If you're an adult and you ever use the phrase, well, that's just the way I was raised, you need to go sit in timeout. Because number one, you're acting like a child, and that is not an acceptable response from an adult. It simply is not acceptable. It is your personal responsibility when you turn 18, when you become your own, and 18 is an arbitrary number, that's what the law says, when the law says you're legally an adult, but the law doesn't really matter. When you decide for yourself that you're going to take charge of your own life, whenever that is, and maybe some of us never do, definitely some of us never do, but whenever that time comes for you, you no longer can use the excuse, that's the way I was raised. I would say you can't really use it before that, but definitely after that, because now you are responsible for your own decisions and for making sure that the way that you were taught to do things is, you know, it's up to you. You can keep doing it that way, but if it's not the best way, then you're just hurting yourself. So again, knowing what you don't know, recognize that the way you were taught might not be the best way, whether it was by your parents, by your field training officer, by your prior employer, whoever, whatever it was in your past that made you who you are today, you can be a better version of you tomorrow. But that takes some humility. The most frustrating people for me in life are ones who don't grow. They're stuck in their like 16-year-old self, right? Or their 25-year-old self. And they simply don't grow. These are the biggest fools that you'll ever meet. And they're often so confident in their idiocy. Don't be that person. Be someone who grows throughout life. You can be 85 years old and learn new things from a young child. You should never stop learning. You should never stop seeking wisdom from everyone that you meet. If you do that successfully, you will be successful. Now, again, even the best parents don't give us everything we need. That is something that I say that again because it's such a huge point. It's not a personal thing against your parents and your upbringing to say there might be a better way. I had great parents, but even the best cannot set us up completely to be the best version of ourselves. We are responsible to continue to grow and become better every single day. All right. And then I want to balance this, right? Because I'm not saying that you should go through life acting like you don't know anything and just constantly soaking up wisdom and expecting everyone else to teach you things. At some point, you do gain enough knowledge. But more importantly, the internal confidence to lead and to teach as well. It's not either or, right? Confidence in your abilities does not mean that you stop learning from other people. And learning from other people doesn't mean that you can't be confident in what you do, what you have experienced, right? And the things you've learned along the way. But that confidence needs to come through experience, through facing difficult challenges, right? Stop running from the hard things. Do the hard things. Even if you fail, in fact, if you do fail, you will learn more than if you overcome that challenge, that hard thing. So regardless of whether you're going to overcome some challenges, you're going to fail in others, but no matter what, just learn, right? And through that cycle of here's the challenge, you attempt to overcome it, you fail. Well, why did you fail? Figure out what made you fail, and then the next time you'll overcome that challenge. Move on to the next one. The next one you might beat the first time. Why'd you win? Why was that challenge not, why did you triumph and the challenge didn't, right? It reinforces things that do work. And if you continue to do that, you'll gain a confidence that is on a solid foundation. Confidence without the proof is arrogance. People who act like they're super confident but don't have anything to back it up are only acting that way because they know. Well, technically they don't. They don't. They're insecure. They don't know if they can actually beat that challenge because they're too afraid to try. That's the elephant in the room. The arrogant assholes that act like they know everything and tear other people down through their words and actions, those are the people who are afraid of the challenge, who are afraid to be made a fool, who are afraid to fail. And because their confidence is false, it's just arrogance. And they're fools. Don't be that person. Let your confidence be rooted in actual success and failure, in actual doing. At Police Academy Podcast, the first word in our slogan, if you will, is do. Do good. Do overcome. Do face the challenges. Doing good is hard. especially in the world that we live in now. But you have to do. You can't just sit on the sidelines. And, you know, there's the famous Roosevelt quote about how the man in the ring is the one who deserves the credit, not the critic who judges everything he does. Because at least the man in the ring risks something. At least he knows the taste of defeat and triumph. And that is where your confidence should come from. Face the challenge. Whether you win or lose, you're going to learn something and you're going to grow. And over time, and the reason I'm saying this now is because at 34, almost 35 years old, I have a confidence now that is, I looked to other, especially like dad figures, to validate me, right? A lot of young men have that issue, especially if their dad wasn't good at encouraging them, telling them they were doing a good job, et cetera. That was the hole in me. I needed to prove something to my dad, especially when he was alive, and dad figures along the way. And it generated success, but it came from a hole within my own in my own self. Now I have in the army, if there's one thing the army did for me, it gave me the opportunity to face a challenge so difficult that afterward, I had no more doubts. I don't need to prove anything to anybody else anymore. I know what I'm capable of. I know that I don't know everything, but I know what I'm capable of. And I know that I can overcome damn near anything. I choose to overcome it. It's my choice. So that confidence has to come from experience. Regardless of how confident you become, and please root it in actual work, in doing, in experiences. Always, always, always remember to love the one you're with. If you do that, I'm telling you, you will increase your success tenfold in life. We will get to the other piece of advice on another show. But I hope this one will stick with some of you. And if it does, whew, I can't wait to see where it takes you. Thanks for joining. We'll see you all on the next one. Don't forget, if you're not a member, go check that out. And I don't think I said this at the beginning of the show. It's at Patreon. Our membership is on Patreon, patreon.com. You can check that out there. Again, November is free. So if you sign up before November, you get 1 month for free. And again, to all of our current members, thanks for sticking around, even though we haven't been putting out as much content lately with the old law school admissions test constantly kicking my ass, basically. And then, of course, don't forget to check out LifeSpot. If you missed that episode and you just want to check it out right now, it's LifeSpot app, just like it sounds, LifeSpotApp.com. And you can see what LifeSpot is. It is the necessary next step in stopping active shooters and active threats in our schools, hospitals, etc., in places where we congregate and we are vulnerable. So go check that out, LifeSpotApp.com. If you want to try to set up a meeting with Brett and his team, with your leadership and your local law enforcement agencies, your schools, hospitals, your workplace, whatever it is, just email us at policeacademypodcast@gmail.com, or you can reach out to Brett directly at LifeSpot. All of their info is there as well. And just let them know that you heard about them here, and we'd appreciate that very much. Our members and pretty soon, officially, LifeSpot will be what keeps the show on the air. So thank you guys so much. I hope you all enjoy the show. And again, I hope some of this sticks with you, because it will propel you to a much higher level of success if you apply it. And we'll see you all on the next one. Love you. As always, do good, be strong, stay free.